You mentioned anti-angiogenic strategy, and it's been fun for us as a CME group to sort of track the bevacizumab story, starting with colon, then lung and breast cancer. Along the way, my favorite question has been, why do you think it works? How do you think bevacizumab works?
Bevacizumab is an antibody against an angiogenic molecule called VEGF, and it certainly makes biological sense to me that if there were less VEGF available to stimulate angiogenic growth, there would be less angiogenesis. Most human cancers live on the very edge of their blood supplies. Most cancers don't have enough blood supply. In you and I, we have redundant blood supplies. If you squeeze your radial artery, your hand won't turn blue and fall off because most people have an adequate ulnar artery so that we have redundant collateral vessels. Most tumors are not put together that way. Most tumors, as you know, are anoxic, using anaerobic glycolysis, and have extremely low oxygen tensions. Therefore, that implies that even a bit more strangulation, even a bit more interference with vasculature might have a worthwhile clinical effect. So I think it's entirely reasonable that an agent like bevacizumab might work. I think that if you recall the statements that I made about apoptosis, that cancers are predisposed to undergo apoptosis and have to figure out ways to defend themselves, it seems clear to me that if you used a drug that has some effectiveness against a cancer cell and further compromised its blood supply at the same time, that could be a very winning strategy. And I think the proof is clearly in the pudding. A whole host of studies of bevacizumab have been really quite positive, and I think we're all awaiting with extreme interest the results of such studies in the adjuvant setting.
Another mechanism a lot of people have talked about is normalization of the blood supply, actually to facilitate delivery of chemotherapy to the tumor.
Well, there have been a whole host of potential ways of simply trying to get a bit more drug to the tumor, arguing that if you could even increase the therapeutic index a tiny bit, you might get there. Some of them are extremely imaginative and almost like Jules Verne. One that I've seen that actually has very positive preclinical studies is literally putting little iron filings on doxorubicin and then holding a magnet over the liver to treat hepatocellular carcinoma, just using the magnetized drug to localize there. There are half of a dozen, if not more, small particle type, nanoparticle liposome type approaches, which take advantage of the fact that the blood supply in tumors is not through normal capillary beds and that these liposomes will entrap and have longer periods of release of drug in tumor beds. And that's turned out to be a potentially effective treatment strategy. There are also several very interesting approaches that take advantage of the fact that tumors are anoxic and do require, live almost exclusively on glucose. One company is making or using compounds that are linked to sugar and taking advantage of the fact that tumors, because of their avidity for glucose, may take these up at an enhanced rate. That's the entire principle of the PET scan, which, as you recall, is fluorodeoxyglucose. And even in the brain, which is a pure glucose obligate, the brain lives on sugar. Even so, you can image gliomas and metastases in the brain because tumors use sugar even more avidly than brain.